He doesn't have a lot of options. And look, here's reality. Everybody has a number that is too big before they say something's got to be done. Some Republicans, if one person came across their undocumented, they'd say shut the whole border down, build a wall, and never let the door be back open. Some people might be 10. Some people might be 100,000, 1 million, 5 million, 50 million. At some point, the number's too big even for Democrats. And now we're at a place where because Congress won't act, Republicans won't let Congress act, the number is too big of people coming across the border, even for Democrats. And so the president is going to take some action. Reality is the courts might strike it down. Also, to your point, he's floating these trial balloons to kind of see what the reaction is. But if Republicans are going to politicize the issue and then refuse to act on it, Biden has to do something.
I'm trying to figure out how Republicans pointing out that the border is wide a double snakes open is also politicizing the issue. I mean, you know, here I just thought it was just Hunter Biden that hit the rock every morning, but apparently a lot of these other commentators do too. Oh, I'm telling you, welcome to the program. It is, it's weird because I kept thinking that today was Tuesday.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah, I have some, yeah.
Thank God it isn't.
Well, I know, I'm like, thank heavens it isn't. And so welcome to the show. You can listen across the country. We got a lot of stuff to. We got a lot of stuff we're going to be hitting for you today, and all the latest with this all this just goofy border stuff in 2024 and the whole VP thing because everybody's mad all over again, and I'm just so tired of it. And so we're going to get into all of that. So as we get to, and then make sure you sign up for the newsletter chapter and verse because stuff is getting rearranged over there and exciting stuff. All right, so guess what? The border's still open. I don't know how long we're going to say that. Border's still wide open. Wide open. But I really don't feel like, you know, when I'm looking at their messaging on all of this, they're not getting it. Like, Democrats are not getting it. They're not getting any of this. They don't seem to understand that you're not going, there's no amount of spinning, there's no amount of, you know, because that's what it seems like they're trying to do, that you're going to be able to use in order to get the American people to agree with you, that this has been politicized by people. It doesn't seem politicized to the people who are having to deal with it at the border. It doesn't seem politicized to any of them. It doesn't seem politicized to, you know, the Border Patrol agents that are just trying to keep their head above the water. I mean, it's just all there is to it. It doesn't seem like that for them at all. So he's probably, Politico, this piece that they have, and this ran last night. Let me pull this up for you. It ran last night. It says he's considering a major new executive order. Now, notice how they're pushing this out. So they're like, oh, he's considering this new executive order. And it kind of makes you think like, oh, wow, what is he going to do? Is he going to like deport, you know, people? Is he going to shut it down? Like, what, how is he going to deal with this? No final decisions have been made, and they said if any, you know, it could be that, you know, they are looking at, you know, some of the policies they're looking at, maybe perhaps trying to, what they think, fast track more people through the process. Maybe they have, you know, something about unaccompanied minors. Whatever it's going to be, they're going to try to tease you with this idea that he's finally got the message and he's going to get tough. And that's not true at all. Not true at all. Now, this comes as, and I believe this was in your, I think I had this in your prep email this morning over on the newsletter. So this comes as the majority of people, they're not buying the spin that you're getting from the left on this. They're simply not. I mean, they have brains. They do understand, you know, they understand this stuff, but the whole point with the, and I had the survey, let me pull this up, because there was a survey that was done of Americans nationally, and then there was a survey that was done of Texas residents, which I thought was interesting, and it showed that people overwhelmingly absolutely believe that that people are, the Democrats are A, responsible, more so than Republicans, which I think it's kind of both, but Democrats have been worse with it, that they're very bad. And also that, here it is. Forgive me, because I have like a million things. I literally changed the layout of my own newsletter. Now I can't find it. This is so just genius, Dana. Okay, so I got it here. All right, so the majority of people, the majority of Texan vote, the majority of Texans completely disagree with the border, with Biden as it relates to the border. And nationally, there are a lot of people nationally, according to the last survey that they took on this was like 2-3 weeks ago. But they are not buying, and this includes a lot of moderates, independents. They're not buying what Democrats are spinning about this stuff. So I feel like now they've gone. Have you noticed they've like moved from we're going to talk about the border to, hey, guys, that Russian stuff. Have you seen it? They're back to Russia. They went from trying to spin so hard on the border, and they're back to Russia now. And that's, if you ever wanted a sign that they're not successful with the narrative on the border, then that's all you need to it. They were really trying to make that happen. It's not happening. So now they're all pushing the whole Russian collusion thing. They think that they're going to hook you on that as opposed to the lawlessness at the open border. And in the meantime for that, I keep hearing everybody still make the case for this Ukraine supplemental, for their Ukraine spending. In fact, I watched an interview earlier today with Nikki Haley, and she was trying to make the case for it. And she was asked, well, you know, how are you going to, because most people, you know, most people don't agree with you on this. They look at everything like I was just talking about, everything that's happening at the southern border. They see all of that. They're not, they are not believing the argument that they have to send their taxpayer dollars over to Ukraine to purchase munitions XYZ. I mean, it's been billions of dollars. There was a piece that I read that came out this morning that was discussing how, oh, they're running low on this, that. They need, missiles. They need all this rockets. They need all this other stuff. It's getting catastrophic, etc. And that's what we've been told, though, this entire time. Like, every single time we hem and haw or hesitate to send tax dollars over, we're told that you're imperiling essentially the entire world and you're going to be the cause of World War III. That's what they're setting this up as. And it's asinine. Nikki Haley was asked about that. And she was saying, well, you know, then they'll take Ukraine and then they'll move in and they'll be right there. They said they would go after, Romania and some of these other, then go after the Baltic states. I just don't see why in the hell would they do that? That doesn't make any sense. They're barely able to get as far and as long into it with Ukraine as they've been able to now, barely. You think that they're going to turn around somehow and all of a sudden be strengthened to the point that they can take on NATO? That's just such a specious argument. We're going to explore that a little bit more later on. Everyone's cell service was, well, not everybody. AT&T, my cell service wasn't out at all. I have a amazing, yeah, I didn't notice nothing. What do they mean? So basically everybody's cell service was out. Not everybody, but if you have what? AT&T and Verizon and whatever, you were on SOS or you just didn't have it at all?
Yeah, mine said SOS only this morning, and now I'm just showing 4 empty signal bars.
So you still don't really have anything?
I don't. No, I don't. Look at your signal bar, not your Wi-Fi, because I was working on 100% Wi-Fi this morning.
Oh, well, I've been on Wi-Fi, I guess. So they said it was a solar flare.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they said.
That only affects the U.S. cell grid. It's a solar flare that only affects the United States.
That is correct.
Cell grid. I just wanted to make sure I had that right. Only affects ours, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Does that work? Steve, do you got service? Of course he does. Do you have all your bars? All full bars?
See, now mine is just says SOS now.
I have and bar.
And bar.
Yeah. So, now let me ask this. Does that mean no one can call you?
You have N bar, so that means somebody can call you.
No, I have like N half a bar.
Yeah.
It's a half of the baby bar. It's not even the full
probably
baby bar.
It's still possible.
Yeah?
But there's no way anybody
can reach
me. Because
if it means that no one can call me, I am all for this.
Yeah,
I am so for it. Because I hate using my phone, honestly. I mean, I love my service, but I just don't. I don't like using my phone. I get excited for regular mail. I hate email. Remember when you were, I don't know, when I was in high school and I would get email, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so great. I was so excited. I was a senior in high school. And that's when everything, they still weren't really sending the important stuff in email. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I got an email. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, I got regular mail. Someone took the time to send you like an actual piece of mail. It was amazing. But I just don't like using my phone. Like if someone calls, I'm like, why are you calling? why are you calling me? It's like the phone version of Sebastian Maniscalco's visitors, his whole bit on someone dropping in to visit, which is one of the funniest things I have ever seen Maniscalco talking about that. Because he's like, you know, back in the day when you were little, you know, people will come over and your parents would be like, oh my gosh, it's you. Why don't you come in? And, you know, they had the Entenmann's coffee cake that, you know, you trash people who live there aren't supposed to eat it. But you got the stale muffins. But, you know, they brought out, my parents totally did this. It was either like a Sara Lee or an Entenmann's coffee cake. And they'd be like, here's the cake. And they'd put it on the coffee table like they spent all day making it. Anyway, his whole bit on that's great. And I feel like that used to apply to phones too. So I'm really excited. That actually makes sense. But, yeah, that actually makes sense because my phone didn't ring this morning. And I'm like, this is amazing. I don't know what's happening, but I love this. So they said it was a solar flare that does not affect anybody else anywhere in the world. What do you think it is? Go ahead. Just lay it
on
me.
What do I think it is? I think it's a psyop. No, I think that I looked at the data. And it wasn't just cellular towers that went down, the cellular network. It was internet-wide. If you look at downdetector.com, you can see that right around 3:30 Central, 3 o'clock Central this morning, you noticed a bunch of reporting of downed connection. And it was like I said, internet-wide. So again, the list you can see with your own eyes at downdetector.com, but... I don't know. It's hard. Juan and I were having a discussion this morning about it. And there's a bunch of different theories. Imagine if the government, you know, the government that loves to, you know, want you to register your guns and things of that nature. Imagine if now they know where all the emergency communications are in certain regions. Because that's what was being used while these communication, you know, avenues are down.
Right. Exactly.
But that's just one part of what we talked about.
Or it could be aliens. The aliens are like, I've seen your memes.
Juan, you all need talk Jesus. About I'm open to the idea, but Juan and I didn't talk about that this morning.
Yeah. So I our listener Larry, who's out in Vegas, he's like, I'm old enough that I don't care if my cell phone goes down. I'm like, I'm positive he's probably Gen X. He sounds like a Gen X guy. Larry sounds like he's Gen X. Because you just don't have that much cynicism in your tone, even in the written word, and not be Gen X. I'm just saying it. So a number of things that we're going to be getting into today, like I said, just some of this. We're going to talk about some of the 2024 stuff. Texans, the crackdown on, this is part of that survey I was telling you about, the crackdown on illegal immigration. Apparently, so here's another part of it. Voters want like barbed wire and arrests, one-way bus trips, the whole nine yards. We're going to get into all of that. And in Beto O'Rourke's hometown, there was a illegal immigrant shelter that was running literally a human smuggling ring. Where's Beto? Where's he at? Where's Tabeta at? Where's he at? Our partners, an actual academic institution, ladies and gentlemen. It's the folks over at Hillsdale. Hillsdale College is it's a great learning institution and founded in 1844. They are all about merit and character and preserving the education about our American heritage. And there's really an illiteracy in this country regarding that, and particularly with natural and civil rights. It's a crisis. And a lot of people haven't been properly taught about our American heritage and our freedoms. And Hillsdale's been aiming to change all of that. So this year, Hillsdale College has been producing, like, they're like Schoolhouse Rock kind of bits. They're 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. They're just short lessons on the principles of liberty. Now, you can go to Dana4, Forhillsdale.com, and you can reserve a free copy of Your Own Pocket Constitution, courtesy of Hillsdale. And if you have one already, you can reserve one for someone you know who may not. So don't neglect the problem of learning. I know you don't, but there are a lot of people who do. And Hillsdale is trying to lead the way in promoting civic education. They have all kinds of free lectures and online resources. They're in Southern Michigan, but their reach extends far beyond. So to take advantage of everything that they have to offer and to hear a Constitution Minute, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com and reserve your free copy of a pocket Constitution courtesy of Hillsdale College. That's Dana4Forhillsdale.com.
Inflation's not going anywhere. Major companies are continuing to lay off thousands of workers. Wholesale and retail prices went up in January. You can't believe the government's job numbers. The spin will be out there.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A sports reporter helped wrestle and duct tape a dude trying to open an airplane door in the middle of a flight. I mean, that's pretty... The guy who's he works for Barstool, his name's Donnie Does. He was telling everybody on X that he overpowered this crazy dude on a flight from Albuquerque. He said he was in a Panda Express and tequila induced stupor. That sounds horrible and horrific. Before being awoken by a man trying to open an airplane door a few rows behind him, five other passengers and this reporter wrestled the guy to the ground, duct taped his legs, tied his hands together with flexi cuffs, and the flight was forced to land back in Albuquerque. And he said that it looks like total chaos just from the photos. It just looks like pure chaos on the plane. But good for them because, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like that's what ballpoint pens are for, going right through the eyeball of somebody who tries to do that stuff on a flight with me. ChatGPT is off the rails. AI is now threatening users who worry that it's sentient. That's a great way to make you feel better about everything, is to get threatened by the robot. You're right. You're trying
that's
to corral.
Reaction.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody was warned. I'm just going to say, everyone was warned. Jeff Bezos' big rocket moves into view and closer to launch. He's getting ready to fire up another rocket, Blue Origin. So now they've got, they haven't really launched anything into orbit yet. They've been around for 24 years. That's all right. I mean, you know, they're getting there. But, slow and steady is the thing. So they got a new rocket. It's at the Launch Complex 36 at Cape Canaveral. And so they got a rocket that's like 32 stories tall, essentially. We got a whole bunch to get into still, including 2024 VP stakes. Stick with us. All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code DANA. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Look, early in my term, I announced a major plan to provide millions of working families with debt relief for their college student debt. Tens of millions of people in debt were literally about to be canceled, their debts. But my MAGA Republican friends in the Congress, elected officials and special interests stepped in and sued us. And the Supreme Court blocked it. They blocked it. But that didn't stop me. I announced we were going to pursue alternative paths for student debt relief for as many borrowers as possible. And that's the effort that's been underway the last 2 years.
It's not my responsibility to pay off your debt. I'm so tired of this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, channel 347 DirecTV. I have no idea what's going on with my hair today. I just had like a Mad Max moment this morning. I was like, blanket. And so, I don't know. I feel like I look like I just emerged victoriously from the Thunderdome. Anyway, welcome. You can also find the newsletter over at Substack, chapter and verse. It's not my responsibility to pay the debt that you signed for. I am so tired of this stuff right now. What are you sitting over there giving me that look for? I'm getting ready to get angry and I'm trying not to because I don't want to be like angry old dude radio.
I know. And sometimes
but it makes me mad.
Sometimes I love, you know, jumping in when you do that. Cut 7, though, according to James Clyburn, this isn't any money we're giving away. But this isn't money we're giving away. Listen to what he says.
Going forward, every 2 months, for the next 4 years, another 75,000 people will become eligible for this forgiveness. And I want to say to your listeners, this is not giving anybody's money away.
Yes, it is. Where do you think that money comes from? Oh, my gosh. It is given the economic literacy. I just want to tie weights around all these economically literate people and throw them in the depths. I'm done. People work too damn hard in this Biden inflation economy in order to be told that they have to sit here and pay for this academic aristocracy, all the debt that these people willfully chose to accrue. It is not our responsibility. That money comes from the taxpayer. They are assuming someone else's debt. If I have to take your debt, I'm going to take everything in your life. That's ridiculous. That's what this is. They're demanding that everyone else, it's like me saying, oh, I'm going to go buy a car, but I don't really want to pay the loan on it. So I want it, quote unquote, forgiven. So that means I'm going to have all you all out there pay it. You all are going to pay it. That's exactly what this is. And most of these people get some BS humanities degree, right? That's what it is. They get some stupid humanities degree. They get something that they're actually never going to be able to use. It's so goofy. And you're on the hook to pay it. You're trying to pay for your kids' school. You're trying to pay for just your bills to keep a roof over your head. And now all these people expect for you to pay for their very bougie degrees. And a lot of the stuff, as we talked about before when we broke this down when it came from CBO, grad school and basically a lot of government workers' debt. I mean, it's a vote-buying scheme. That's exactly what this is. It's buying votes. Ahead of the election, buying votes, $138 billion. And he's promising this going through California. I had someone tell me, and I always get so tired of this, so I just go ahead and preempt them because they say, oh, well, you know, it's just you're so privileged, etc. No, we're not going to be doing this. We're not doing that. It has nothing to do with that. And first off, the whole thing with, you know, when I grew up, I was raised by a broke single mother, and I knew a poverty that most of these people today complaining about their student loans have never experienced. They have never experienced it. Do you ever know what it's like to actually be super hungry and the only thing that you can afford to eat is milk, gravy, and biscuits, or not even be able to have enough money to buy your own notebook paper, or not have enough money to get new shoes for the start of the school year, never ever having new clothes and having to wear old hand-me-downs? Because that's just part of the life that I lived. I didn't have anybody pay off anything for me. I didn't have any government money paying off anything for me. And I certainly didn't sit on my ass when I became an adult and expected that to continue. You make your own opportunity. And all the people who say that you can't, they're just too damn lazy. And that's the truth of it. You're lazy. This is about you wanting a free ride on the back of the taxpayer. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think that this is the kind of country in which you can't do that anymore, then maybe before you go cast your vote for another damn Democrat in 2024, you step back and ask why that is and how has my vote contributed to that. Maybe kind of do a little inventory here. Do a little wellness, spiritual check. It's asinine. And then these people think, a lot of the people that are arguing for this, they have the audacity to think that you're being envious. Oh, well, I guess, you know, envy is the coveting of your neighbor's money and expecting them to pay for the bills that you signed up to pay for that they didn't. I wasn't there at the table when these people were signing the loans for their college tuition. I wasn't there. I wasn't invited. Did you get invited in, shareholder taxpayer? Because I sure as heck didn't. This is not an investment of my tax dollars. This is robbery. And again, it's paying off the debts of people who vote to raise your taxes. They vote to keep your kids out of school for pandemics. They vote to put DEI in your kids' school, and instead of having your children learn about programming or mathematics, they're learning about genitalia, that kind of stuff. It is the definition of irony for these people to say that opposing it is somehow selfish or envious. And this money comes from the taxpayer. There's not just like some money tree out there. It doesn't come out of the ether and just boom, appear in your hand. It comes from the taxpayer. But see, people like Joe Biden's never worked in the private sector. Joe Biden doesn't know. Joe Biden's never generated wealth. He's never generated money. He's never had to make payroll. He's never had to do any of this stuff. He is a ward of the state, a dependent of the state. You know what? I was watching this thing. It's this old documentary. It's called The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. You've heard about that, right? Tap dancing outlaw. I'm like, that ain't tap dancing, but whatever. But they're big lefties, and they're all on government welfare. They're like a very famous family in West Virginia. Everybody knows them. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, there's like some kind of like American, you know, Appalachia iconography or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, long story short, they are all on government benefits and all this stuff. And I've read, you know, over the years, you know, articles and stuff that act like, oh, well, they're on government benefits. And that's, you know, that's so... And it's other Democrats that say it, like they don't want to be associated with Democrats who bilk the system. And they, you know, they think it's, you know, it's just D class A. The Bidens are the same thing. You realize that, right? All of them working in the public sector. Except for Jim, who once ran a nightclub before he got into public policy, you know, because that's the pathway for that. They're on the public sector. That whole family's been working in the public sector, been working on government. But they just put on airs and act like that's somehow better than being on welfare and bilking the system. You realize that when you've been in government that long, you're just a glorified welfare recipient. That's the reality of it. So don't sit here and act like you're so much better than everybody else. At least other people are being honest about bilking the government out of taxpayer dollars. You act like you're performing some sort of service. What service are you performing? For real. I mean, that's the truth of it. So I think about that. I mean, he's only ever worked in the private sector. It's no different. It's no different from any of this. So where's this money come from? They don't know. They don't know where the money comes from. They don't know where the money comes from because they don't know how it's made. They just think, well, you know, it comes from the government. You know how many people on the left say this stuff? Well, where's that money coming from? The government. It's the government's money. You mean the government has like a big pile of money that it just generated by itself? Well, yeah. And it just takes that money. Where did the government get that money? They print it off. Oh. Oh, is that how that works? All right. You see what I mean? I'm not kidding you. I have literally had, these are grown adults who raise children. This is terrifying. And they drive cars next to you on the road. That's terrifying. And they vote. This is the stuff they actually think. I don't, did they go to school?
Yeah, it's public school.
Good night. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh my word. So a few other things we got to hit. We're going to talk about some of this 2024 stuff. I read this article. Let me pull this up. I think it's at New York Post. I was reading this piece, and this was because it's Nikki Haley's still obviously in the primary, and they had this, the media, and some people in the Trump camp have been floating this VP shortlist for a long time. I mean, Trump was even on stage, and he was asked about it, and, you know, he rolled off some names, and DeSantis's name was one of them, and DeSantis was asked by New York Post about it. And he said, he goes, people were mentioning me as, you know, as a potential vice president. He goes, I'm not doing that. He said, I know some people are really actively seeking it. He says, I think there's a handful of folks that are auditioning for it. He goes, I think my criteria, when he's talking about a running mate, was different maybe than probably what Donald Trump's criteria will be. He says, my criteria was basically I need someone who can do the job if it came to that. And I would have been the third youngest president elected. So chances are I'd probably be in pretty good shape. But you never know what else could happen. He said, it's happened before. He said, so you need someone who can just go in day one, no problem. They can do the job. And he says, I'm not sure that those are necessarily going to be the criteria that Donald Trump uses. He goes, I think he might probably use different criteria. He says, I've heard that they're looking more at identity politics. I think that's a mistake. I think you should focus on who you think the best person for the job should be, end quote. A lot of people are getting mad at this, but I've literally seen his surrogates, and I've got just a ton of screenshots. I almost said shot screens, but you get it. Like people in his camp have been floating that. So you can't get mad at people for reacting to other things that literally the people in his circle have gone to the keyboard and have, you know, even if they're just exercising it in thought, they're doing it in public, they're speculating on it publicly. So obviously people are going to react to that. And that's all he said. And I mean, he just responded to a thing. Well, some folks lost their ever loving minds. And oh my gosh, are we ever going to get to the point where we not do that? We're going to discuss this more coming up. We also have a bunch of other stuff to get into as well. Some foreign policy, all that good stuff. The media, our partners over at Wise Foods, Wise Food Storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dane in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
My dad used to say, Joey, a paycheck is about more than a job is about more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity.
Which I don't have any. So, you know, it's not about more than that. And that's what my dad told me. I want some ice cream. Oh, man. I just need to sit here for a moment because this is the state of things right now. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh with you. This very weird Thursday, and coming at you live blessedly from Dallas. I love not being in the swamp. It's so overrated. Now, does he actually know? Because he never actually worked in the private sector. His own brother, though, Jim, did. I sent that. You got some of that out for you subscribers. It's over at Substack. You got some of that out because I sent you this piece. I included this link in your prep about Jim Biden, the proto hunter. You know that he apparently got a $500,000 loan. Now this was back when he was running his nightclub, so it was some time ago, but still, that's a big check, right? And $500,000 now doesn't seem like a lot, but in the late 70s, that's a butt ton of money, right, Kane? That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
In the late 70s. Even with Carter's inflation, who I guess inspired Biden. But it was interesting because his brother, Joe, who was then in the Senate, he sat on the banking committee. Interesting how that. And I included a whole thing in here about all this. It was this, there's an old Washington Post piece that got into all of it. Actually, it referenced this old Washington Post piece. But yeah, he, like his brother, he was a seedy nightclub owner, and he somehow got this $500,000 loan. And there's, you know, this was you can actually see the newspaper. He defaulted on this first Pennsylvania loan. It was a $500,000 loan. And the bank arranged to turn over operations of the nightclub to this other dude back in 1977. And so then there ended up being all these lawsuits. The guy that was going to acquire the club after the bank was going to seize it for default, he ended up suing the bank, First Pennsylvania and the other bank. They're trying to collect for the loan to Biden, and Biden countersued. And so it was all this other stuff. But it's so interesting because his brother was literally on the Senate Banking Committee at the time he got this loan from First Pennsylvania Bank. I'm sure that's totally coincidence, right?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Coincidental. Yeah, just totally, totally coincidental, I'm sure. Just so you know, the grift for these guys goes back so long, so long. And they, man, it's a damning piece, too. It is a damning piece. It was the Wilmington Evening Journal that ran this story on June 5th, 1978. And this was like one of the first instances that they were documenting of just, it's so convenient that his brother gets this and his older brother who's in the Senate is on this committee. And then this happens and his brother's in the Senate. And it, I mean, this has been going on since literally Joe Biden has been in government the entire time. They have been fleecing people and grifting so that they can make bank on it. It is no different. Just so interesting, is it not? So that's, if you're a subscriber, you got that. It's just very, you know, interesting. All right. So in, we're going to touch on some 2024 stuff coming up into our second hour. And we're also going to get into some pretty crazy media malpractice as well. We're going to touch on some of just some things you should probably be aware of. Like, for instance, you know, some of the survivors of the Nova when the October massacre that Hamas carried out against Israel, Nova survivors are filing a lawsuit against the Associated Press because Associated Press, remember how I told you? There were members of their bureau over there that were working, photographed and videotaped, working with Hamas. And these images and videos are public. They're suing because their agency photographers literally participated in the terrorist massacre. We're going to talk about that and more coming up, a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Second hour, moments away. Our partners, they help bring you free radio. So remember them, even when times are tough in this Biden inflation. It's our friends at Gold Co. Precious Metals, because this is the time to actually help yourself as a, and get some actual gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Gold Co. Now, that gold IRA field can seem super confusing, and it's tough to find a precious metals company that you can trust. So I turn to Gold Co. because they make it real easy for you to understand exactly how they do business. They walk you through. In fact, they send you this whole, it's a free 2024 gold kit. And they walk you through the gold IRA field. They walk you through the, they explain the economy of it, how it works, how gold IRAs work. And their whole goal is just to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver, because that's a huge important part of your overall saving strategy. And they have fantastic customer service, a zero complaint record, no pressure, and ask them about their highest buyback guarantee as well. And you can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. So it's the free 2024 gold kit from Gold Co. And you can protect your family's financial future and freedom. It's easy to get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver at danalikesgold.com.
I mean, I think, I mean, embryos to me are babies. So,
even
I mean,
those created through IVF.
I mean, I had artificial insemination. Yeah. That's how I had my son. So when you look at, you know, one thing is to have to save sperm or to save eggs. But when you talk about an embryo, you are talking about, to me, that's a life.
Why does she have to say to me? Why does she have to qualify? Just be like, it's a life. Don't couch it with, well, to me. No, it's just that's to everyone. To science, that's what it is. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That was Nikki Haley. And she was just, she was being asked about this ruling, this Alabama Supreme Court ruling saying that frozen embryos are protected in sanctity of life cases. And I don't know why she kept going, to me, just, no. But then, audio soundbite five, why does she backtrack it? She's like turning into the female Vivek. Listen.
Well, first of all, I didn't, I mean, this is, again, I didn't say that I agreed with the Alabama ruling. What the question that I was asked is, do I believe an embryo is a baby?
That's the ruling.
I do think that if you look in the definition, an embryo is considered an unborn
baby. Oh, my gosh.
And so, yes, I believe from my stance that that is. The difference is, and this is what I say about abortion as well, we need to treat these issues with
That's literally, they had a, it was a state constitutional amendment. They adopted this back in 2018 that upheld the sanctity of unborn life. And then this, the there were multiple parents who had frozen embryos that had been destroyed somehow at a reproductive clinic. and they were saying that the wrongful death of a minor applied to the destruction of the frozen embryos. And so that's what this ruling is. The crux of it literally is whether or not you're recognizing it as a human life. So how is she saying that she's backtracking on this? Stop it. Just be the brave, empowered woman that you always brag about being and stick to a conviction. Don't do this all well to me. No, that's just the way it is. It's science. Good night. I can't stand this. That she backtracked it. Because when she said to me, embryos are babies, well, they are. What are they going to be? Sofas? The hell else are they going to be? They're babies. No, they're baseballs, Nikki. Like, what else are they going to be? What is with this stupid, careful, focus group language? No, they either are or they are not. I cannot stand. Don't sit here and tell me about how empowered you think that you are, because you're not when you talk like this. You're a weak A double snakes broad if you're talking like this. I don't care who you are. Have the strength to stand up with your conviction. Golly. And then she's like, well, I did not agree with the Supreme Court when I said, I mean, I was agreeing with literally the crux of the case, but I wasn't agreeing with it. Because that was ultimately, that was the issue that was being debated in the case. Oh my gosh. You see, this is what people being so ridiculously overly focused grouped and too careful. This is what happens, because now you have this kind of thing. This is so dumb. Now she's going to spend, I don't know how long, like trying to clean up after it, right? Trying to clean up after it and trying to tidy up her mess that she made with her language here. All she had to do was be like, yeah, I think it was right. That's what they are. What else are they going to be? That's what I would ask if a reporter pressed me. What else is it going to be? Just be like that Poilievre guy up in Canada. Eat your apple. Be like, and? What else is it going to be? Well, do you agree with their, yeah, and that embryos are babies? What else are they? That's the question you ask the reporters whenever they push at you with this stuff, with their stupid questions. Well, what else are they? Like, seriously, give me some potentials. What else do you think they are? Well, it could be just some cells. Of what? Your cells, too. Is your life less valuable? Can I end you right now? I mean, you know, I'm just rhetorically speaking. I'm just, you know, just wondering. Golly, it's just so dumb. I welcome back to the program. So we are at the top of the second hour, Dana Loesch with you. And you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Coming up in our third hour, our friend Robert Salvador, is he going to be joining us? Yeah, today. Yeah. Yes. Third hour, yes?
Yes.
He's going to be in our third hour. And We're talking about the central digital currency stuff, central bank digital currency. And the interesting thing about this is because he's coming on a day when we've had these supposed solar flares, right? A solar flare that's caused nationwide. It's a solar flare that only affected us, apparently. It's a very... So this is what, who's this guy? Wait, I'm going to make sure I get this. I don't want to just cite some rando. Okay, so here's a meteorologist out of KSAT in San Antonio. And he says, yes, it was a solar flare reported around midnight. And they're saying that it was related to the outage because they can disrupt ground-based and satellite-based communications networks. And the... Apparently, FBI and DHS said we're already looking as to whether or not it was a tech malfunction or an attack, et cetera, et cetera, and disruption, you know, all this stuff. And so it all came because it was U.S. Cellular, Boost Mobile, Consumer Mobile, T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T. And they were all across, all major U.S. cities. But I haven't been hearing anything else, though. Anywhere else except the U.S., right? So, it's a really specific solar flare, right? Is that how science works?
I don't think so.
I mean, that's a super specific solar flare. Anyway, my whole point is that imagine, as it relates to central bank digital currency, imagine your finances. The cell coverage is a variable. Now substitute in your finances and your ability to do business. One thing, because one entity controls it. We're going to explore that with Sal, because I just thought that's a very, some very interesting timing on all of that. All right. So in media malpractice, I mentioned this story to you with regard to this lawsuit that's coming up. And families of victims from the Nova Music Festival, who, you know, you had tons of people murdered in the October 7th terrorist massacre, they are filing a lawsuit in Florida against the Associated Press, because they were saying that the Associated Press, their agency photographers, participated in the attack. And that's, I mean, they're suing because they were, there's a lot of images and a lot of, Le Monde even reported it. They said the that all these photojournalists were embedded with Hamas, and several of them were, I mean, there's some of the, there's a guy who's, who is a reporter who, I mean, you had somebody with CNN. There was and it's not just AP, like CNN had a photographer, and I think this is a photographer who also freelanced with the AP, who was partying with Hamas leadership on October 7th, and he's got photos of himself getting kissed on the cheek by the leader of Hamas, by the guy who was the mastermind of October 7th. And he was on the back of back of a bike, pictured holding a rocket, heading out with Hamas. So the idea that this is, I mean, like baseless is no, because this guy was a freelancer with CNN and the Associated Press, and CNN cut ties with him. Associated Press never made a statement on it. He's just one of many. He's the only reporter that has a picture of him being kissed on the cheek and partying with Hamas and the Hamas mastermind of October 7th. He's the only one who's got a photo of himself being kissed on the cheek by this guy. But the idea, I mean, he's on October 7th. He was on the back of a bike carrying a rocket. He was pictured. There's a photo online. There's all kinds of video of other of these so-called freelancers. So they're suing, and there was a watchdog called Honest Reporting that showed not just AP freelancers and CNN freelancers, but the New York Times and Reuters, that they weren't just there embedded to document. They were participating. They were actually participating. Some were involved in helping to kidnap Israelis. And CNN was the only one apparently that made the public statement that they were refusing, or that they were suspending their photographer. But the AP has never said anything. So these are really legitimate. I mean, and the photos are really easy to find online. There's actually a ton of them of several different journalists. But the guy who is all with Hamas, he's the one who has the most photos of himself. I think the New York Post has a piece on it. But Honest Reporting asks a legitimate question, like what these reporters who were there, like, for instance, there was a photo. One freelancer had taken a photo, and another freelancer happened to be in the image, and he was helping to hold up a fence and allowing all these Hamas terrorists to come through. That's not being a freelance photographer if you're literally aiding Hamas and breaching a barrier to get into Israel and kill people. This is what I'm talking about. And so there's a lot. There was one guy, and I had this in headlines a while ago, who was a part of this as well. And he was like pictured on a truck when they had kidnapped somebody. And another one who was pictured in a golf cart with somebody else. I mean, this is just wild. There was also a guy who took photos of this lynch mob that they were just brutalizing this body of this Israeli soldier. They blew up this tank, dragged this guy out of the tank. They named it their image of the day on their editorial database over at Reuters. And this guy was, you know, he was documenting it. But how did what gets me is how were a lot of these freelancers in certain positions before Hamas showed up? And they were able to photograph the beginning of the attack, like this guy in the tank. Like, the guy was already out. He was already out, like, by where the IDF soldiers were. And he was able to get Hamas coming in. He was able to get all of these images. He got all these photographs that Reuters put in. They call them carousels, that where you can swipe through all the photos. They had all these photo carousels. And he has, like, numerous images that were considered photo of the day. And how did they know where to go? Number one, how do they know what time to be there? And there had to have been some kind of communication, because they were able to get photos up pretty quickly, sending them through, because you had rockets, you had all kinds of stuff going on. The body cams, the videos and all of this stuff. And I'm not the only one asking that. Honest Reporting asked that as well. There's a lot of questions to be. So I think it's a very valid suit. It seems very, I mean, it seems incredibly valid. So coming up, there's an El Paso shelter for illegal immigrants that's accused of running a human smuggling ring. In El Paso, you know, right there next to Beto. No, my Black Rifle Coffee, I have to tell you this. My husband went out of town and I cannot work our, like, I don't know what it is, our Rube Goldberg espresso machine. And he was like, don't touch it because I'll break something off. I don't even know. I'm like, does this crank? Is this the hand cranker thing? I don't even know what this is. All I know is that he makes the coffee in the morning and it's there and it's amazing. It's Black Rifle Coffee every morning. And it's usually like, I have my Tactisquatch. That has been my jam lately. Although I did have, I had Silencer Smooth this morning. But anyway, long story short, I had to drink Communist Swill. It was horrible. I had to go and find, it was awful. I wanted to die. I thought I was just going to eat the beans. I was ready to eat the beans out of the bag. It was so bad. My life was horrible. First world problems, I guess, but not for me. Anyway, so they can't come to your house and make your coffee, but they can send your coffee to your house. That's what the coffee club gets you at Black Rifle Coffee Club. I'm a member. I'm probably like the valedictorian because I just keep adding stuff just to send to my house. They're probably like, what's the matter with you? But if you don't want bland swill for your coffee, you can get like, it's the most delicious coffee in the best roast, but it doesn't have the bougie price tag, and it's Black Rifle Coffee, veteran owned, veteran roasted. And so when you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club, I got you 30% off your first subscription order with code Dana. You pick what coffee you want and it's sent to your door with no shipping fees. So freely sent to your door, and you never run out of coffee ever. And they also have all kinds of stuff like grinders, mugs, kettles, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. But pick your coffee in quantity, have it sent, pick your delivery schedule, you're all done, free shipping. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana, join that Black Rifle Coffee Club, get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted by a veteran owned company right here in America. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gas station heroin sounds like an album name. It does. It's apparently a growing threat, though, an actual thing in New Jersey. Health officials are warning it's dangerous and addictive. What is it? Products containing, I'm not going to say this right, tianeptine?
Sure, let's go with that.
Sounds right. Tianeptine? That one? Okay. Can cause severe opioid-like effects, putting kids and teens at risk. It's a dangerous drug. Dangerous drug. They say that it's a spike in illnesses. It's sold on the shelves of corner convenience stores, and it's called Neptune's Elixir and Zaza Red Gas Station Heroin, two of the products marked as dietary supplements. And they said that it causes severe clinical effects, and it's a tricyclic antidepressant that has not been... It looks like pot juice. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it comes in a little bottle, and it says Neptune's Fix, and it looks like... I don't know. What have you ever
seen? I think it's pot juice.
It looks like something that I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how else to. It looks like something a hippie would drink, like a little hippie energy thing, right?
Right.
I've never seen this before. They have this in gas stations. What gas stations carry this? And in New Jersey, where you can't like do anything, but you can get this kind of what? I don't know. Anyway, so just be aware. You know, the only thing I would look for when I was at a gas station were the giant fudge rounds. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The big ones that you would, it'd be like 50 cents. They're probably a lot more now. That was when I was in college. They were like 50 cents for a giant one. You would get the box and they've shrank. They're like fun size now, which is a joke. But you could get the giant ones, like as big as your face, for 50 cents at the gas station. Man, that was my jam, was the pizza combos and the fudge rounds and some Gatorade. What? Get your fudge round. What? Get your combos. What? Okay, I don't know what's happening. Let's see. No, let's go to this one. Scientists found a link between brain imbalance and chronic fatigue syndrome. That's apparently an actual thing. Chronic fatigue syndrome. They say that there's some sort of, they've been doing this overdue deep dive. They said into the biology of the condition. It has, chronic fatigue syndrome has a very long name that I'm not going to get into. It's called myalgic encephalomyelitis syndrome. That's right. And it's very real. I've read about this because when I first heard it, I thought it was made up. And it's actually not. It's like a neurological thing. So they've been doing, they've starting to find some links, which means that they can now start looking at how to treat and maybe cure it. And the lifespan of large appliances is shrinking. Refrigerators, washing machines, because I think they're doing more. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And it's been my cell phone service for the past 10 years. You're going to get great service. You're also going to save a lot more money than with your than whomever you're with now. That's just the way it is. And you get free activation using code Dana. They have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the progressive left. And you can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade. I mean, the choice is entirely yours. It's a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you're helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe some of you think that we should just say, this is not our problem, and that we should let the migrant families starve or freeze to death. But that's not what decent Midwesterners do. That's not what leaders do. We didn't ask for this manufactured crisis, but we must deal with it all the same. With our partners in Cook County and the city of Chicago.
So that's J.B. Pritzker, who says that it's a manufactured crisis, the problem at the border. He literally called it a manufactured crisis. And he says that the that basically Greg Abbott, he acts like Greg Abbott's just sneaking across the Rio, wheeling himself across and snatching up Mexicans and bringing them over and going, well, he's here illegally. That's what they act like they're doing. I mean, it is a crisis that's been facilitated, exacerbated, and completely grown beyond any kind of sustainable proportion by this administration. So in that way, it's manufactured. But the other thing that Pritzker's saying is that, well, you know, good people don't do what they're doing at the border. He's acting like that, I guess, Texas is supposed to take care of it. That's the Christian thing to do. Not for him to do anything. Not for J.B. Pritzker, you know, who gets, you know, his six meals a day. It's true. It's not for him to do. No, that's for Texas. You know, how do you call yourself a Christian? Unless you can allow the border states to deal with all this, all your policies for you. That's, I mean, you're the one who said you were a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. I mean, we're doing the Christian thing and we're allowing you to be the hands and feet and, you know, serve in your capacity as a sanctuary state. You know, that's what we're doing. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Woo-hoo-hoo. And bottom of this second hour, that is still amazing to me. And he went on and on and on, because that was, he like went on for like 5 minutes. That was just an excerpt, but he's like, he went on and on and on, and he was saying what did he say? That basically he said Abbott was a bad Christian because Abbott isn't just allowing people to come in. So wait a minute, Kane, what if you and I want to go to J.B. Pritzker's house? He should let us in if he's a good Christian.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a good Christian, would he?
I know. I should be able to just walk up in your house and do whatever the hell I want, because that's you being a good Christian, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think part of me being a good Christian is to blow somebody away who's trying to get into my house. That's also very Christian in my eyes.
No, you're supposed to allow whoever wants to come into your sovereign territory, in your property.
Yeah, no.
That's a part of being a good Christian. That's according to the Gospel of J.B. Pritzker.
That's weird, because I still consider myself a good Christian.
It's so weird how none of his words are actually incorporated into the Bible like that. You know, he's such a disciple, that one.
Thank goodness I don't care about what comes out of his mouth.
Well, somebody does, because he's governor of Illinois. I mean, you know, I think that, I don't know how, but he is. And I made of jokes right now. I have a great way, sidebar. Only people who've ever played Darktide are going to understand this, but if you play as the Psyker class and you use too much of your power defending other people and all that stuff, and you have to quell or you'll blow up, sometimes I almost short circuit because all these jokes fly into my head at the exact same point, and I have to stop and basically quell it so my head doesn't explode. I mean, two of them I definitely can't say on air. The third I maybe can. No, actually I can't. Anyway, I just overloaded with jokes for a hot second.
Always feel better when you play it safe.
I mean, I don't want to, but because I don't want Kane to have a cardiac event because he's stressed out, and then Steve to fry his head because he can't press the dump button that many times. I'm just saying, you know, anyway.
She really likes us, Steve.
I'm looking out for your health.
Thank you.
Yeah, look at that. My brain almost died, though. I had to stop myself from saying it because my brain gets super excited and it's like, I'm just going to override, just going to spit it out. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, long story short, I love how they're all like, it's so generous to make other people do our generosity for us. Look how generous it is. That's not generous. That's just you being late. That's so lazy. It's so lazy. Like I had someone telling me, like with the student loan stuff, golly, it's just the economic illiteracy of people is frightening and also puzzling. Like someone else said, you know, people have been responsibly paying on these student loans several times over, and you know they're paying taxes, and they don't get to opt out, you know, and they didn't get to opt out on paying off the PPP loans. Are you seriously going to compare the PPP loans to student debt loans? Okay, let's play this game. Can you please show me where any business owner signed up to have the government engage in eminent domain of economic activity and basically seize the means of producing and generating income? Show me the contract that somebody signed on that, and then we can go forward and talk. Or you can eat your hat and not make any other stupid, brain-dead, illiterate comparisons again. I mean, it's very simple. That is so dumb for people to do, to compare the two. You're comparing the PPP loan. I didn't want the PPP loan because I didn't want the government to shut down in the first place. But we had a Republican president and members of Congress and everybody else like actually work. They demanded for a shutdown of the economy. Under threat of penalty, I might add, people were arrested and thrown in jail for, I mean, actually trying to generate wealth, for trying to operate their business. They were thrown in jail. One of my friends, I got to know her because of the story. She's a hairstylist. She was trying to reopen her salon so that she could, you know, they could have people come in and she could cut and style hair and they could pay their bills and they had kids, etc. And she was thrown in jail for it. So no, the PPP loans, that was the government enacting eminent domain over economic activity and seizing your ability to generate income. They shut down your ability to generate income, but they didn't shut down their ability to collect taxes on anything, your house, your property, anything else. No, they were still getting theirs. But they were going to make it to where you couldn't get yours. So don't compare the two. Because sitting down and signing up for a student loan, no one forced you to sign up for a student loan. No one forced you to accept it. No one forced you to accept the terms. And lastly, as Kane reminds, the student loan scam goes against what the Supreme Court decided. I mean, you had a SCOTUS ruling on this already that the president of the United States is disregarding. Democrat presidents like doing that. So it's not the same. And it's not a burden. People are like, oh, they're going to be freed from this burden. Freed from the burden that you willfully chose to enter into. You thinking that you're freeing yourself of the burden, you're actually yoking other people with your burden. And that's not, that's selfish. And a lot of this is envious class warfare, because people who accrued debt are mad at people who either didn't accrue debt, not because they're rich, but because they chose not to. I sure as hell wasn't rich when I went to college, but I didn't take any student loans either. I had scholarships, and then whatever else I couldn't, I had work to pay off, had to work to pay for it. But you can make that choice. Everyone can make that choice. But here's the last big thing. If you're upset about paying for these student loans two and three times over, all the people who are complaining the loudest about this are also the people who vote Democrat. You tell me exactly what Democrats did. And this was back, what, in 2014? 2013? What did Democrats do when it came to consolidating the student loan hierarchy? They all voted for it. Elizabeth Warren included. They voted to take control of student loans, centralizing it, controlling all of it from D.C., jacking up the cost of college, the cost of everything. It is all directly related to that. My very good friend Glenn Reynolds has an entire book on this. That's exactly what they did. They chose to take it over. And when you have this guaranteed, you know, for stream of income and guaranteed from the government to all these universities, guess what? They're going to be jacking up their prices too. It's all related. So you voted for the people who literally made it more expensive for you to go to college, made it to where you chose to willfully go into debt more. And then now they want to act like they're helping you by yoking everyone else with the debt you chose to go into? No. Am I going to make somebody else party to my mortgage? When are you going to start paying for my mortgage? Same thing. Oh, well, that's different. No, it's not. It's actually more important because it's shelter. And the left also always says a right to housing. So, you know. So when are they going to start doing that? When are they going to start taking over people's rents and mortgages and all that stuff? Share the burden, right? If you can yoke someone with your college education tuition that they chose to not assume because they have their own bills to pay, then you better expect other people to try to yoke you with their debt. Actually, I think if you can't pay off your student loan, I think you should have your degree forfeit. It should be based on condition of you, actually. It shouldn't be whether or not you can, it should be not just whether or not you complete the classes and do all of that to get your degree. If you're not paying for it, then you should, I think they should withhold your degree. Because I'd rather you have your degree withheld than assume thousands of dollars of your debt because your deadbeat ass can't pay for it. I don't feel bad for people who choose to willfully take this on, vote Democrat, and make it harder for themselves. I don't feel bad for that. People should feel bad about putting that burden on other Americans. That is shameful, selfish, sinful, and awful. Now, speaking of which, there's a new Biden regulation that manufacturing is warning is going to wipe out a million jobs. The EPA recently finalized an air quality rule. And according to a couple of outlets, including Wall Street Journal and New York Post and others, the National Association of Manufacturers, they've been warning people about this regulation, saying that Biden's going to wants to take credit for what manufacturers have accomplished. But his federal agencies have been actually working to do that with it's called the National Ambient Air Quality Standards or whatever. They're rules that are stricter than what they have in Europe. And you can really not even build new manufacturing facilities as a result. So it tightens the rules for particle pollution, PM2.5. which refers to the particulate matter, 2.5 micrometers or less in diameter. By lowering the air quality standard from 12 micrograms per cubic meter to 9 micrograms per cubic meter. They said that the amount of business that will be lost from it, and again, stricter than Europe's even. Do you see this? The United States is pushing itself towards strangulation on manufacturing, all this other stuff. No other country on earth is doing it, but we are.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, here's one for the books. I have seen some stuff before, you know, scammers trying to get insurance money, things like that. This is really committed. A Florida man chopped off his paraplegic friend's feet with a hatchet.
What?
In a macabre insurance scam. Oh. Yeah, it's a Florida man in Springfield, Missouri. Tori Thompson.
What?
This guy found... Tori Thompson says this case is the strangest of his career. Howell County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant. So, back in November, the Howell County Sheriff's Office issued this cryptic press release to local media involving a man who had supposedly lost his feet in a staged mishap with a brush hog. Literally cut his feet off. But something was amiss because the guy was a 60-year-old paraplegic. And he had tourniquets on his legs when he was found. How? So they discovered that he was not acting alone. A friend from Florida traveled to Springfield and they decided to commit insurance fraud and chopped off his feet. And the wounds were not convincing. According to the lieutenant, they were clean unnaturally. It wasn't gruesome like you would expect from a brush hog. I still want to know how a 60-year-old paraplegic would be operating a brush hog. And then how his feet would get caught in said brush hog. And then when they get there to help him, he's got his feet wrapped in tourniquets.
Right.
60-year-old paraplegic. And I don't know. They found his feet hidden in a bucket obscured by tires. I said that. So anyway, they finally have closed out the case on this. Just a strange thing. They committed insurance fraud, so the responsible parties were prosecuted. But good, it took long enough. Oh my gosh, that's just a weird story. So this story, I got more though. I'm made of questions. How did you think that was a good idea with a brush hog to do that? A Florida man with, I don't know what kind of haircut this is, was arrested for exposing himself at a Macon Metaphysical Supply store. And the police they were called to come and stop Robert Webb walking in. He walked into the store around 5 minutes before closing, said it was cold outside. He needed to warm up. And then he dropped his britches and exposed himself.
Oh.
And then he left the store and walked up the street. Police, this is apparently not the first day first time he's done this. They did arrest him. His mugshot is disturbing.
Is that how you warm up? I don't warm up.
Yeah, walk into random businesses and drop your britches. You know, that's totally normal. I'm sure. You know. You guys remember about that bill that I was telling you about where you could kill crack bears in self-defense? Not just any bear, but a crack bear, you know, like if it was seemed like it was on crack. And I don't know, they call it the cocaine bear bill. So Floridians, apparently this is, I'm not kidding you, the Florida Senate voted on it. It cleared the Senate to defend yourself against, if you, like one of the lawmakers, Jason Shove, said, you know, the bears that break down your door, they're in your living room growling and tearing your house apart. When you run into one of those crack bears, you should be able to shoot it, period. Well, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think you need to call it crack bear. I just think, you know, if your life is in danger from wildlife, you should be able to defend yourself. I just think it's funny that crack bears is a part of it. We have a whole third hour on the way coming up. Stick with us.
Problem, though, I think, is he also stood on that stage when you pressed him and he endorsed Biden fully. He said Biden was an A-plus president. He endorsed all of Biden's disastrous policies. So if he were to run, he would get saddled with all those policies, but then he'd have to answer for California. They have the biggest budget deficit in the country, $70 billion. They have homeless problems. They have an exodus of people. So in some respects, you know, it's the worst of both worlds. You have Biden's policies and that bad record, as well as all the California dysfunction. And all we'd have to do is run commercials showing that San Francisco poop map, and I think people would understand right away.
It's the San Francisco treat. It's true. That's Governor Ron DeSantis. He's talking about Gavin Newsom there, who still may run. You don't know. Welcome back to the show. Top of this third hour. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. Channel 347 DirecTV. The video simulcast also found on YouTube where discussion happens. Facebook, elsewhere. I know that some people theorize that it could be Michelle Obama who ends up running, but I don't think it's going to be Michelle Obama. If Joe Biden steps aside, it's not going to be Michelle Obama. I just think that's such a weird theory. I don't know why that's such a theory for people, because she didn't want to even be first. She didn't even like her job as first lady. There's no way in hell she's going to run to be president of the United States. But Gavin Newsom has all the momentum as the number two to do that. And they could, you know, he could just, you know, have him as his VP too and push Kamala out of the way. And I think that that's a move that Joe Biden could be prevailed upon to make. I think that they could convince him to do that. I think they could convince him to make that move and be to have him as have Gavin Newsom as VP. And then if, you know, if something happens with Biden, he can just step to the side and there's no worry about it and all said and done. But that's what it. Gavin Newsom, because Steve asked me this on break. I think there's a lot to the Newsom stuff. And I think there's a lot to it just because Newsom acts like there's a lot to it. I mean, this is a guy who's been, you know, really kind of campaigning. He's been running a shadow campaign. I mean, there's jokes about it. He's been running a whole shadow campaign. So I do really think that there is something to that. And I also think that he's in the best position within the party to bring everybody together. He's got an impressive war chest. He's the product of two of the wealthiest families in California. One of the wealthiest families in the country, and they're all friends. They all run California. There's a group of four of them. We've talked about this before, but he has a lot of connections. He comes from a lot of money. He is in a prime position. They've been grooming him since he was mayor of San Francisco to take this challenge, to make this move at some point. And he's all that they have. The only other person that they could possibly prop up is Gretchen Whitmer. And I think it's weird that they had that whole FBI entrapment case with Gretchen Whitmer. I really feel like they set that up just to propel her to the national stage, because that's true. It's what it was. You had a number of these FBI agents that were involved and they were trying to set up this kidnapping scheme. And none of the guys who weren't FBI agents actually wanted to go along with it. They had this whole entrapment thing. I legitimately believe that that is something that they had planned as a way to kind of expedite her ascension to the forefront of the conversation in the United States. Otherwise, nobody's paying attention to Gretchen Whitmer. Nobody's looking up at the governor, but nobody's paying attention to her. It could be a Newsom-Whitmer thing. You never know. They could force. There's a piece that I read about this. Let me pull this up. It wouldn't be the first time that they did it, but it'd be messy. Whether or not they tried to replace him at the convention. There is a piece that was written about this. It's, you know, liberal trash, but like I said, it's not totally the first time this has happened, but it's something that could happen. I mean, they could have some kind of, you know, they could force a vote at the convention and they could replace him. They could shut him down at the convention. There was an Ezra Klein piece in the New York Times that kind of touched on this as well. But I don't know. I mean, he could withdraw. They could have Biden withdraw. He would release his delegates. And then they would have, you know, everybody would fight over the votes of to get the delegates. I mean, they could have that. They could do something like that. But I'm not, I mean, that would be, they. I think it was like back in, let me look at my notes on this. I think it was like back in the early 1900s, because you had Teddy Roosevelt and Taft. They had a divided convention that split the Republican Party, and they fought that. And they had kind of a thing between Ford and Reagan in 76. It wasn't really open. They had everybody but like a couple of delegates were already in Ford's camp. Remember, Reagan lost that primary to Ford in 76, and he came back. He came back pretty strong, I'd say. But I just can't imagine them getting to this point and Michelle Obama coming out. I think it would be a Gavin Newsom, because Gavin Newsom's done a lot of the groundwork. I mean, it's not enough just to have the name. You have to be able to show that you can fundraise, that you're willing to fundraise, and that you've traveled around and you've met with people. And that's all Newsom's been doing. I feel like he's been traveling around the country more so than he's been in California. So There is. I mean, they could have like this open convention kind of situation, but the longer this goes on, the way that it is, the less likely I think that becomes, and I think it will ultimately end up being Biden. I mean, because this is not. Remember, it's not just Biden. It's a lot of people in his inner circle that are hanging on to that power adjacency there, too. Speaking of Biden, did you hear about that dog? I feel like this is just so abusive of this dog. I don't think that the Bidens should actually have them. But they, their dog Commander, this was like back last year. Remember when the story broke and they said that Commander was relocated from the White House? Because he was just too aggressive and he bit a Secret Service agent. Well, apparently he bit members of the Secret Service 24 times before he was finally removed from the White House. And it was, I was looking at this, I sent you guys an image of all exactly where, because it's bad. CNN had this story that showed exactly what the bites were and where they were. So apparently, they had left arm, left hand, left forearm, right lower back, wrist, thigh, waist, magazine pouch, and whether or not treatment was received. Like apparently, like medical treatment was needed in a ton of these different incidences. They had, you know, Camp David, the right forearm. I mean, they get into exactly where it happened and how often it happened. I mean, so basically from October 2nd of 22 to June 15th of 23, they had just tons of bites. And I mean, the dog sounds like it was stressed. And so much of this, they were trying to deal with public responses, said CNN. They were trying to craft a way to talk about the issue. And apparently, like, he ran and bit one Secret Service agent in his arm, and it was a deep wound. And he actually lost a according to the documents, started to lose a significant amount of blood from the from that arm. He had to be treated by the White House medical unit. He got six stitches. He got antibiotics, all this stuff. And he was bitten while he was holding the door open between the West Wing and the president's residence. So apparently Biden, that means Biden was involved. He was opening the door for Biden or Jill Biden when they were leaving the resident, going into the West Wing. They said that it just kept happening. Apparently, at one point, there was an incident. This was October 26th in 2022 on the White House grounds. And Jill Biden apparently had him on a leash and the dog lunged to bite, but missed. She regained control of the leash. It sounds like they wanted a German Shepherd and they had no idea how to deal with him. The Bidens raised their drug doing kids. I mean, you see all the mess that their kids are involved in. Are you shocked that the dogs are any different? No. I mean, they said that at one point there was an incident where an agent was opening the door to the Oval Office dining room for the First Lady, and that the dog jumped on one agent, bit him on the left chest area. It was a torn shirt, two lacerations. A member of the Navy staff at Camp David. They said everybody has had an incident with Commander, the dog. And they just could not get control of this dog. And just like with the kids, they said that the dog's behavior was a sensitive subject for the staff to raise with the first family. Oh, you mean the first family doesn't want to take accountability over the fact that they're incapable dog owners, just like they were incapable parents? Notice how when their culpability is questioned, it's a sensitive subject to raise with them. Good grief. So it sounds like they didn't know how to train and raise their dogs, because I hate this blame the dog thing. I hate the blame the dog mentality. You guys know I'm a huge dog person. It's the owners. I mean, it comes down to the owners. If you're not able to, and German Shepherds and Belgian Malinois and other, you know, really kind of working dogs like this, they have a lot of energy. They're super smart and they require devoted attention to train them properly. And a lot of people get these dogs like the Bidens without the ability or interest to provide for them the kind of discipline and training that they need so that they know where their limits are and they don't have to be fearful and run these sorts of risks all the time. So this is, I mean, it's just kind of par for the course with this whole family, is it not? I mean, I feel bad for the dog. I also do. I agree with Kane, though. I trust dogs more than I trust people. Dogs aren't wrong. All dogs love me. But if my dog doesn't like somebody, I typically probably would not like them either. You know? Although one of my dogs, Louie, didn't like a lot of people. But if Rocco didn't like you, then you probably were trash. Just saying, because Rocco was a great judge of character. He really was. Yes, my dog was. So that's pretty, I know. I feel so bad for that dog. He's apparently living with family friends of the Bidens in Delaware. Do you believe that? I swear, if they put that dog to sleep. Do you believe it, Kane? Because we haven't seen proof of life.
I don't believe anything that's come out of this administration.
I need proof of life. So they're investigating. FBI and Homeland Security are, quote, urgently investigating whether or not this AT&T outage was a cyber attack for the people who, and it apparently affected more than just that. They're looking into whether it was a cyber attack. Maybe someone was suggesting maybe this started actually Tuesday. And one professor at Syracuse said that the widespread nature looks like it's a massive, you know, denial of service, DDoS, on core internet infrastructure. All I know is, am I going to be able to play Warhammer later? Because this is about me. I don't care if I can't use my phone to make calls. I mean, I got med kits and quick clots and tourniquets, and I got all the rounds, and I'm not going to tell you everything I have, but I ain't worried. But I don't want people to call me because I hate talking on the phone to people, even members of my own family. God love you, but I can't stand it. I can't. I just can't. My kids are like me. They also can't handle talking on the phone. My husband enjoys talking on the phone. We are completely different in this relationship. I can't deal. So I'm fine with not being able to be contacted. I'm okay. So do you think it's that? I mean, a solar flare that only hit the U.S., it seems a little unlikely.
That is weird.
Right?
It's weird that they would, like, even just recently talk about this fear of Russia and the satellite stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just throwing it out.
All I know is I'm not going to want to throw down unless it interferes with the things that I like to do recreationally. And then we're going to have, then it's going to be fisticuffs. I'm just going to say. All right, we got more on the way. It's very selfish. I'm not going to lie.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We were talking about how, and this is a headline, The Burbs, starring Bruce Dern and Tom Hanks, Carrie Fisher was in it, is still the funniest movie that's ever been made. Maybe next to Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles probably number one. This is number two. And the best character in it was Bruce Dern's Rumsfeld. So good. Watch it. You'll thank me. An alarming study warns that too much protein can lead to heart disease, just like too much water can lead to drowning. Too much fire can lead to being burned to death. This is so dumb. I'm not reading this because it's stupid. I don't care. This is dumb. You know what? Moderation and just be smart, right? It's like, too much of anything is bad for you. What? We gotta have a scientific study for this. I'm more interested in this. The world's largest snake was discovered by a television crew. It's a 26-foot beast, and it was as thick as a car tire. And it was filmed in the Amazon rainforest. And I cannot believe someone got in the water with this thing. That is the nuttiest thing I've ever seen in my life. This thing weighs 440 pounds. It's three times the weight of the average human. 26 feet long. The head is as big as a human head. And its jaw unhinges when they swallow stuff. So remember that. It's a northern green anaconda. And it was found by this professor whose name is Freak Vonk. F-R-E-E-K. Yeah, freak. It's like some D'Antford stuff. And it's the biggest of the species that they've ever seen. It's insane. And they got in the water and swam with it. And men and women's brains do work differently. Scientists discover really for the first time. Really? Yeah. Robert Salvador joins us next.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the radio program. Watch the visual component, the simulcast on Channel 347, DirecTV, also on YouTube. Great discussion, Facebook, etc. We've been talking about because it happened today, this solar flare, you know, that happened. And specifically, the sun hates only the United States right now, apparently. And everybody's like, I was looking at my cell phone. I'm happy about it because I hate talking to people on the phone. I hate the phone being used as anything other than a troll talking device on social platforms. I have like a half of the baby bar. Yeah, I don't care. But, you know, I'm joking. But at the same time, I mean, that's kind of a serious thing. We had the headline about how now apparently the Department of Homeland Security and DOJ, or not DOJ, but FBI and Department of Homeland Security are looking into this as, you know, whether it's were we hacked? Is it a denial of service? Like it could be a DDoS attack. They haven't said anything, but we're literally earlier in the day told that it could be a solar flare. And as you know, I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist. I like to think of myself as pretty middle of the road. It's weird though how the, you know, flare, if it was one, only just hit, you know, the United States. So I tend to think this may be a cyber attack too. Kane is like literally off in no man's land with every conspiracy theory possible.
True.
No, it's true. But you know what? I like the balance though. I like the balance because I need to be able to, you know, have that suspension of disbelief, you know, actually be real and take place. Now, on top of it, I was reading this the other day about Robert Salvador. He's been on the program before. And I brought him on to talk about how, you know, this acquisition, this merger, MasterCard and Capital One and, you know, the central bank digital currency and all of this stuff. But then he had tweeted that, oh, well, look at this. You know, now we have this huge issue with the cell service and the solar flare apparently happening. Imagine, you know, that's very much, and he compared it to the central bank digital currency. It's just a variable. So now I'm totally in conspiracy theory land with Kane and Robert Salvador. And he's the CEO of DigiBuild. You can find him at Robert J. Salvador on X. He joins us now via Skype. So I'm with Kane way out in conspiracy theorist land right now. They're coming to get us. But no, I just want to talk about this, whatever this is with the cell phone coverage. It just is too, the solar flare thing just seems to be too convenient. It seems like it is a cyber attack. When everything is so centralized, look how easy it is to knock out communications.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that word right there. Centralization, having a single point of failure for anything that's really important in society is dangerous. Now, if you want to go down the conspiratorial route, you know, it's weird because the same thing that happened during COVID, we found out all these random little breadcrumbs of people who called that things would happen before COVID. Hmm. We saw the same people over the last year saying there might be some big cyber attack and the world should prepare for a global cyber attack. And then to your point, it happens today. I saw some tweets from people who couldn't access their bank and bank accounts because they had two-factor authentication on their phones. And when AT&T went down, they could no longer access that extra layer of security they needed to get in. So it all kind of ties really neatly, but in a scary way, into the risks of central bank digital currencies. And what happened today, you know, was a perfect example.
I'm about a second away from pulling most of my money out of all my bank accounts and shoving it in my mattress at this point, because it's true. I mean, everything is with everything being so centralized, it just takes one attack, one push of the button, one discriminatory practice against whatever you're buying, against you because of what your ideology is or your consumer habits are. And that's all it takes, which gets me into this Capital One and this Discover merger today. You had noted, you know, these consolidations into these mega companies. You tweeted this, you know, every step away from smaller markets and businesses moves us closer to a CBDC, that's a central bank digital currency. And, you know, we've already seen this with purchasing firearms and FFL's Operation Choke Point. If you buy too much gas, though, they could deactivate that. I mean, that's something, you know, again, one press of a button with everything being so centralized. It maybe 10 years ago, Robert, it seemed, or 15 maybe, it seemed kind of far-fetched for some. 20 to 30 years ago, entirely far-fetched. But seems like we're a heartbeat away from this now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Consolidation in the economy, it happens, but there's supposed to be, you know, mechanisms, antitrust and things like that to keep it from getting too dangerous or risky for the consumer, for the citizens. But, you know, in down economies and with the way the U.S. economy has kind of been built on debt and spending the last 20 years, you're seeing these consolidations where there are becoming fewer and fewer options in the banking and financial system. Even right now, it's not a perfect system. But the way it works is the Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States and really of the world. Mm. But then they lend credit and opportunities down the chain to medium and large banks who then extend credit to the consumer. So you end up with a bunch of credit facilities, credit cards, regional banks, things like that. And so it's still kind of hard to fully censor someone or lock them out of the system. But as you're seeing more and more consolidation, it makes it easier to bring in one single database, one single place that rules them all. And that's what you would have with a central bank digital currency. Essentially, every person would have their own retail account with the Federal Reserve, and they could turn that off at any moment if you tried to purchase a firearm, or the next time they want to lock you down during COVID, they don't ask you or suggest that you do it. They just turn off your purchasing power. And so that is the risk of losing any form of decentralization and having one single point of failure, to your point.
You also made the point of, which I think is it's kind of reminded me of a syntax, programmable spending. Tell me about that.
Sure. So, you know, one of the issues in the economy that people are worried about right now, or economists are worried about, is if people save and don't spend during a period of very high inflation, you don't have growth, then you have deflation, where you're essentially having inflation while the economy shrinks, or stagflation. And that's a big deal. So what you could do with programmable money, and what, you know, some of the big powers would want to do, is make it so that it punishes savings. So they could say, if you have some, you know, minimum threshold of money in your bank account, if you don't spend it or get below that threshold by a certain date, they could tax you on it. Or even more sinister, like we saw a little bit during COVID, they could get the public addicted to spending by offering essentially free money, helicopter money, but you have to spend it within a certain time. And it's easy to think, oh, that's great, they just gave me $1,600. But then they add thousands and thousands of worth of inflation. So you saw that during COVID. They printed almost $8 trillion. They sent you $1,600 and they gave the rest to rich people, and everyone else dealt with the inflation. So programmable money can make it where they can penalize you for saving or addict everyone to inflation and say, hey, we'll give you this money, but you have to spend it by this date. And again, you just end up with a bigger and bigger, more centralized, more powerful government. And that leads to communism, socialism, yeah, you know, all the bad things we talk about.
We're talking with Robert Salvador. You can find him at Robert J. Salvador on X. He's the CEO of DigiBuild. It's a top AI company. Speaking of AI, and I want to get in, actually, before I jump into that, there is a way to deal with this federally. And I know Florida has taken some steps to ban or to mitigate the problems that this stuff causes at the state level. I mean, it's a lot easier to do at the state level, I think. I don't know if you would ever be able to get everybody on the same page federally to get some kind of defense like this passed.
Yeah, it would be very difficult, especially with, you know, kind of how misincentivized DC is. There's a lot of big banks.
It's a good
way
to put it. Very generous, misincentivized.
Yes, exactly. But I do think you are seeing some movement from leaders like Warren Davidson, Thomas Massey, who have made motions to get rid of this. I believe there's a bill in committee right now to ban CBDCs. To your point, though, it's great to see, and I hope to see more at the state level, like you saw Governor DeSantis do in Florida, banning CBDCs. What you can also do, not just banning the CBDCs, you can make it easier for smaller community banks, state banks, to get the charters they need to essentially drink from the faucet of the Federal Reserve. And actually, again, Florida is in the process of exploring a bill making it easier for those central banks to get their charters. So at the end of the day, it comes down to decentralization. Mm. We want to decentralize power away from the government in most cases, or at least make it semi-decentralized. And that will be best for the American citizen, best for the consumer. And then the free market will push forward solutions. You never want the solution coming from the top down of government.
No, you know, never.
As you alluded to, our government doesn't have a collecting problem. We have a spending problem. So they don't need to see everyone spending to collect more taxes and do more. They need to check their spending.
Exactly.
And so that's why we should be against CBDCs.
Robert, your company it's an AI company, and there's definitely a lot of value in AI. There's also a lot of, I think, potential misuse in AI, especially when you consider what's baked into it, which we've been seeing the past few days as everybody's been testing out Google's AI and Grok on X and all these others. I mean, just asking them, you know, basic things like show me a portrait of George Washington or show me this or that, or can you even asking anything that looks like it's politically themed. Someone asking about Tiananmen Square and Google's AI couldn't even explain that because it was too politically sensitive. Or there were, I think the phrase used was there are many interpretations, which I thought was wild. I feel like we are past the point of caution, and now we have to really do, I mean, we have to take some serious action because I think that the damage has already been done. All of the people that have been developing this, like I said, have been baking this in. They've had a lot of time to do this. We're still going to find out the extent to which how far the bias goes in AI, but I don't know. I don't even have the slightest idea how to even counter what's already there, what's already established, and what's already taken hold, not just in culture, but now probably also in government policy. I mean, AI is used in so many things, and that's the big fear. How far are we down this path, and how much damage has already been done? So it's like a three-part question. And then what's the remedy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm glad you call it out, because we have to tackle this head on. We can't ignore it. We can't be afraid of it. As you mentioned, you know, Elon Musk tweeted last night about how woke Google Gemini is. To your point, they prompted it to show American leaders or early founding fathers, mm-hmm. and they showed them as all, you know, either Indian or African American, or basically just wouldn't show a white person.
It'd be like asking, you know, Gemini, can you show me, you know, like a typical Japanese samurai warrior? And it shows you like a 5'4" blue eyed blonde haired woman. I mean, it's just right, it's
exactly.
So
show
weird.
Me Michael Jordan. Yeah. And they show you a picture of Rob Salvador. Come on. It's not that's just not accurate. And so it's good that this is being called out because it is very dangerous. A lot of these big tech companies that have become woke have a very big head start on the AI.
Yeah.
And AI is not going away. It is here. It's going to help cure cancer. It's going to help markets. It's going to help make the U.S. more efficient. And most importantly, probably, Democrats are already using it. They're using it in politics to find voters. They're using it in get out and vote situations. There are so many things that can be done. So as conservatives, we have to tackle this problem head on. We have to lean into AI, not fear monger around it, not try and ban it. And to the third part of your question, I think what we can do is invest in these technologies, invest in entrepreneurs that do it, get red states to take the lead, like Florida, Texas, that have these big economies. Stop letting Silicon Valley have the dominant market share of all these new technologies. AI is here. We have to build it. And I am slightly excited because, you know, one of the reasons we released our AI poll was to shine a light on the fact that this can be brought into the conservative circles, into these red states, where AI, kind of like Elon Musk is trying to do with Grok, can be uncensored and actually help with things, can give you information without trying to check your opinions at the door. So I think the biggest thing I would say is just don't fear it, understand it, don't create a committee to fearmonger about it. You know, put out plans to figure out how do we invest in it in a safe way? How do we get, you know, non-woke entrepreneurs to build their own versions like mm-hmm. Elon Musk. So
that's a great point.
Asked that and we can take steps to do that.
That's a great point. And yeah, I think that's what it'll take. Yeah, the answer to abuse isn't misuse, it's proper use and making sure that we're funding and putting power behind that proper use. Robert J. Salvador, you can find him at that name on X, digibill.com. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Enjoy talking to you.
Thanks as always, Dana. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And the economy is growing. It's growing. Jobs, income, across the board. We have the most advanced economy of any major nation in the world.
Why is he talking like this?
It's so good. This economy.
Well, he's so weird. He's not a serious person. He's not a serious nothing. I don't know. It's the president. He was, I guess, trying to convince you about, I don't know, something about the economy. We were talking about this on break, by the way. If you've not seen it, it is literally the funniest movie ever made. It's The Burbs. It's an old school movie. I was like, I think it was in junior high when this came out. Or elementary, I can't remember. But I remember being really young. And I went to the theater with my mom to see it. And it has Tom Hanks, Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern's character is my favorite character in it. Corey Feldman reps Gen X real well in this film. The guy who plays Art is hysterical. Carrie Fisher, Tom Hanks. Oh my gosh, it's just hysterical. It is one of the funniest films I've ever. It's so quotable, and it is so hysterical, and it's totally fine for the whole family as long as you don't mind an occasional damn here or whatever. You know, I mean, it's, you know, like a water damn. What's wrong with you people? But yeah, that's literally it. I don't think there's a single F-bomb in it.
No,
it's like. By today's comparison, it's the most wholesome thing ever.
It is.
It's not politically correct. That's not even a consideration. It's just a funny movie. And oh my gosh, you guys have got to watch it. That's your homework assignment. You got to watch The Burbs. I promise you, it is the funniest movie you will ever see. And Bruce Dern's character is the best. So good. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, it would be our president. You know, don't like calling him stupid all the time, but a few weeks ago.
Yes, you do.
No, I actually do. A few weeks ago, he said he'd done all he could do at the border, right? Congress has to do something, but listen to what he says today. Listen to this.
With executive authority, or is there more you could do?
I've done all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked for the very day I got in office. Give me the border patrol. Give me the people. Give me the people, the judges. Give me the people who can stop this and make it work less.
Yeah. He's considering executive action now, when 3 weeks ago it was impossible.
Yeah, because how did he even do some of the first things that he did about immigration his first week in office? All right, folks, that does it for us today. Back tomorrow with you to end the week. Have a great night.